Tonight, we discuss the final veto competition. Who will hold all the power for the final veto of the season? We also discuss the confirmation of Amy Coney Barrett, Sam's birthday, the election, and more. But first, please welcome your hosts, Adam and Fatty. Hello, everyone.
I'm not doing the fucking politics.
Well, I'm out of stuff to write in the script, so.
It's okay, I have election news.
You've just lost all your will, is that it?
To live?
No, I didn't say to live.
To write a script, yeah.
To go on Weight Watchers, to continue PX30 or 90 or 120, yeah, or whatever. It's just...
For sure, I have. No more... I mean,
and you've given up the... We understand from our pre-show conversation, you've given up the will to shower daily.
I don't know where that question came from.
It was from Faye.
No, I don't know, like, where in his mind. Like, you know, why I would be asked that question. I believe
it would have been from his skull.
I believe I've even stated in my personal journal podcast that when we started going through all this COVID stuff, I decided that, you know, I was going to go about my day as I would, as if I was going to work, so that I stayed in a rhythm, which would mean I shower and get dressed for work every day, every morning. So
you're not still doing that, are you?
No, I am every day.
You actually put on dress pants.
No, we don't dress up to go to work. I'm in IT.
Oh, excuse me. You just wear your Depends and go in and sit your dad bod in front of the Zoom?
Just jeans and a t-shirt. Just normal clothes.
Okay.
Anyway, that being said...
I'll shut up now.
We're joined by Fatty. So he already talked. Hi, Fatty. We're also joined by... You know what? We're just going to do it out of order. Faye. How are you, Faye?
I'm first. I can't believe it.
One time actually, in the season.
I was first. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm second. Okay. I follow the... you know, it's hard to follow a big Fatty. So I want to talk about the election. So we have had an election here in the great province of British Columbia in Canada. And we, by a landslide, elected the Democratic Party, who actually was already in power. So it's a great wave, a big movement for the Democrats. And I'm hoping, I'm willing for over the next week that the Democratic wave continues to the Americas. So,
you know, all I heard and what you just said is we've had a big movement and we've pushed and, you know, it's anyway.
Well, of course you would hear that. So,
okay.
Thank you
poor
for
Moose. He had to cover his face.
Thank you, Adam, for bringing up the election, the British Columbia provincial election in your opening today.
Speaking of a big movement, we're also joined by Moose. Hello, Moose.
Hey, y'all. I hope the rest of the panelists have not been as bored this week with the Big Brother episodes as I have. I quite frankly, I think getting a colonoscopy without propofol would be more enjoyable than these shows.
Oh,
but anyway.
Well, nice to have you.
And thank you.
Speaking of a colonoscopy,
what were the results of your colonoscopy?
You always step on me there, Fatty. Speaking of a colonoscopy without propofol, we're also joined by Archer. Hello, Archer.
I knew you were going to do that on me. I'm fine. Thank you very much. Thank you for asking.
Any thoughts on this week's episodes or the election? Either one?
Well, I already voted, and hopefully my candidate will win. This week has been kind of boring. I agree with Moose on that. Very few things. Although I'm looking at the Big Brother daily feed, and there's some drama going on in the house, supposedly this last day or two.
Well, not
that I'm going to spoil it or anything.
I voted.
Well, I will.
I voted
as
well. But the only thing that was, first of all, I didn't know how many people were actually running for president, and it's a lot. I mean, they're like, I don't know, eight different people running for president or something like that. That may be the wrong number, but I was just like, I knew
Being a people pleaser, you wanted to vote for all of them.
No, I didn't want to vote for all of them. But do you guys ever do that thing? I'm going to admit this right now, where you don't, like, I'm really bad at the local politics.
I know you are. Listen to your show.
I will get there and I'm like, oh, I don't know who these people are. And then it's either like eeny, meeny, miny, moe, or whose name do I like better? Generally, Tim Cotton sounds good. Generally, those are the ones. I need to vote for a Republican. No. Well, okay. So I don't know if I said this on my, so Tom Cotton or whatever is the Republican candidate here for Senate. They cheated me on that electronic ballot because Tom Cotton was the only name on that page.
Allegedly.
I don't know if they put the other candidate on a second page or something, but he was the only name. I went forward. I'm like, well, I'm just not going to vote for that one then. And I clicked forward and then it popped up an error message and says, you realize you didn't vote in that category. And I got scared. I'm like, well, I don't want to nullify my entire ballot. So then I went back. He was still the only one there. I don't know. I think they cheated me.
So what you're saying is you picked Cotton?
Yeah. Well, I thought it was my only choice.
In the South.
I thought it was my only choice. Speaking of cheating me, we also are joined by Mike Lawson. Hello, Mike.
Hey, I have advice for you, Adam. Find an organization that you believe in politically. Mm-hmm. For me, like, there's a labor union that kind of has like a very narrow sort of like view, and they put out list of, you know, kind of suggestions on how to vote. And usually I'm pretty much like, yep. And then some of them I'm like, oh, let me look into this. You know, I don't take it, you know, as 100%, but, you know, find a cause that you really believe in that's kind of political and then kind of like go from there.
Yeah, I need to do that.
You're saying do a little research.
Well, I feel like, yes, that's what he's saying.
Not that much. I mean, it's a little bit.
I feel like it's one step at a time, though. Used to, I didn't care at all. And now I care, but I'm caring at the federal level. And then, you know, next time I will also care at the local level. I thought, and I voted in every election since I've been able to vote, but I thought that there would be just a choice of a Democrat in each of the categories. And I would just choose all Democrat. And there wasn't. Like, there were a lot that had all independents. There were some, anyway, you know, so
I think some like nonpartisan offices.
It's a code word for Republican light.
Maybe. Anyway, I mean, most of them had either independents or uncontested, or there weren't very many that I had a choice. But
you mentioned that you voted based on names. I voted for a lady on the school board ballot whose name was Helen. Because my mother, when she was in assisted living, this crazy woman who thought she worked there came by, and my mother says, "Have you met Helen?" Her name's not Helen, but my mother thought her name was Helen. So in honor of my mother, I voted for Helen. And anyway, I'm sorry, Mike, I interrupted you.
Well, he's done. Speaking of a crazy woman, we're also joined by Sam and the Hinterlands.
By Helen, okay.
Hello,
Helen,
everybody.
From the hinterlands.
I had an aunt, Helen.
Oh,
there you go.
I knew somebody named Helen at one point. I don't think I have any relatives named Helen. How are you, Sam?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good. And you have a special day coming up on Thursday.
Well, yes, I do.
Okay.
Happy birthday early.
She's getting a colonoscopy without propofol.
Oh, no, I want all the propofol you'll give me.
Oh, Mike, you were going to say something and I interrupted you.
I was going to ask you guys if you thought that ripe means ready.
Oh, my gosh.
Does the word ripe mean ready?
What does it mean? I don't.
It's a Cody reference. If you didn't watch the Friday episode, there were just some like moments where you don't always get to see. So they kind of like are ordering food in the diary room or like items. Like that was kind of a nice little glimpse into kind of beyond what we normally see. And I agree with you guys that it's been slow and boring, but I feel like that it's kind of the game we signed up for. This is Monopoly. This is not checkers. This is right. a long game, and it has to kind of play out, and people have to be mad at each other for a week and then friends for a week. And
like, especially
it gets boring the last week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now who said the ripe means ready thing?
See, you need to go back and watch the Friday episode.
You should watch it. Yeah. He didn't know what the word ripe meant. And there were just stories like that, like the grease fire they had on the stove. Like you actually see it kind of play out.
We saw Nicole pee herself.
Yeah, I saw that. Twice. Actually, I was thumbing through that Friday episode and I saw that. Yeah.
I knew she said she peed herself, but I didn't know. Was she literal? Was she literal when she said that? Did she literally pee herself?
Yes.
Like you could point to the ground and see it. The evidence that she did.
Who does that? How does that happen?
Nicole.
She needs to go to the doctor. Like,
but
if you, she's pretty young. I mean, you know, I could see
she was
someone
laughing hysterically
at something that wasn't very funny.
Not even a little bit funny.
Her peeing her pants ended up being more funny than
Enzo's
toilet paper.
Right.
I don't think I've ever peed myself.
Well, listen,
you're young.
And you have different anatomy.
So much. You haven't done an enema.
Nicole,
you haven't.
No. Listen, but you just said, what? I haven't been urinated on? Is that what you said?
You haven't urinated on yourself, I said.
Oh, well, that's untrue, but I haven't peed my pants.
That gives me hope for the future.
But you're saying that I'm young, fatty, but Nicole's younger than I am, and she's peeing herself. So,
well, she had a UTI. I don't know.
I suppose it's also like she was like in a nightgown, and I don't know that she was like wearing underwear, maybe. And so, like, there was evidence where it could have been like nothing, where like, you know, all of us would have maybe done that, but we usually would be covered up. Why are we talking about this?
I was going to say, but why don't we ask the only woman in the room?
I don't think it's a woman.
Well, I was waiting. I gather that she was laughing very hard at something and had what would be called stress incontinence, which means that, yeah, she would not normally have urinated, but she did because she was laughing so hard. And it... she was laughing so hard on a full bladder, and depending on how full her bladder was, she, you know, this is not unusual. I mean, yes, the fact that she's a young woman, it's a little unusual, but not out of the realm of possibility.
But I mean, in general, for women, when they have a strong laughing time and they're a little bit older, they generally cannot help themselves.
Well, yes, especially post-childbirth. Yes. And basically laughing, coughing, sneezing, all of that kind of thing post childbirth and as women age, because, you know, there's not that much musculature and there's not as the sphincter is smaller and incomplete. And, you know, it's just it all falls apart.
I think I have sharted when I sneezed one time. But
what is this podcast for Shark about? Week? Well, wait a minute. Did you say laughing time when she had a laughing time? That's
the time where she laughed very strongly.
No, that's not what you said though.
I don't remember what I said.
It's you said, "Oh, she had a laughing time." Are you about to pee yourself, aren't you?
I can't take any more of this. Let's go.
All right. Faye's about to have a colostomy. Okay.
Faye's about to pee himself. Let's go.
Right.
Okay. We are at episode number 32, Monday, October the 19th. This is the HOH competition for the final four. In pregame, it's the... knight moves, K-N-I-G-H-T, knight as in the chess game, is the name of the game. You have to move in the form of the L shape that the knight moves in, and when you land on that spot becomes out of play. So it's Cody, Christmas, and Enzo are playing the game. Enzo is playing really to be safe, and there's a lot of you know, there's a lot of machinations around this because everybody thinks both Enzo and Christmas are thinking that Enzo is going to play with them respectively to get the other player out. And lo and behold, I mean, Cody and Christmas are playing hard against each other, hoping that Enzo will feed into that and help each of the two of them to get the other one out. But in the end, Enzo ends up playing off in the corner
all by himself.
This is an interesting game, I think. I quite liked this game the first time that we had it. And I'll ask for comments from people. What do people think? I see Mike and then Adam, possibly.
I know that Enzo got a lot of shit for this, but I don't know that he necessarily deserved it, because the goal was to win, and they did. Like, either it's a they or not, you know? Like, Cody was really upset about it, but it was like, was Cody just upset because, like, he did not win, which means he's mad about exactly what he is saying he wanted for himself and not for... And so I think it's a bunch of crap. I don't know. But the game was fun. I did enjoy it, and I'm glad Enzo won. I wish Enzo could win this whole thing. Team Enzo.
Well, I found it... I found it interesting. I believe Christmas and Cody both thought that Enzo would be going after the other person, kind of like you alluded to, Faye. So, because Christmas, you know, feels like she had or felt like she had this big alliance with Enzo, and they were going to be a final two. And, you know, and then I think Cody, I think he felt like, well, maybe he didn't feel that way. Anyway, everybody felt like he was supposed to be doing something different than he was. And he was playing to win. I mean, he kind of tried to play it off like, oh, I don't know. I was just kind of, I mean, that's what he does, though, is tries to play everything off as if he's dumb. Mm-hmm. But I think he played really well. I think he's like, you know what? Let them go after each other. I need to win this one if I want to make it, you know, any further. And I thought it was good. Cody just kind of, I don't know, sometimes... But I never know if it's just my dislike of people who are winning, like who are on top, or if it's true. But he does come across sometimes as like expecting things to go his way, you know? Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Sometimes that's just my own insecurities playing out. So I don't never know if it's true or not.
Could it be that Cody is just in New Memphis?
Yes.
I mean, maybe, but I wouldn't say it's bad. Memphis was much worse pretty than close. Asshole in my mind.
Well, Memphis expected everything to go his way too.
And I didn't recall that Cody had actually specifically told Enzo, hey, let's get Christmas out. I mean, maybe he did and I didn't catch it, or maybe it was off camera, but you know, I thought Cody was awfully disproportionately mad for something that wasn't necessarily planned out.
Yeah. Disproportionate is a good way to describe it, because it's like he was mad that they didn't make a plan together to win, you know, like you're mad at yourself as well.
He had an expectation that they did not discuss. Well, at least we didn't see them discuss it ahead of time.
Yeah.
Okay. So post game, does anybody have any other comments on that after Enzo wins? Okay. So Nicole now doesn't trust Enzo. Nicole did not play in this game. She was the HOH. Is that correct? Yeah, she was the
HOH. She was the outgoing HOH. Yeah.
She didn't play. So Nicole is now untrustworthy of Enzo. Cody is mad at Enzo. Cody and Nicole are mad at Enzo. But Christmas and Enzo are butting up against Nicole and Cody, possibly, but Enzo has been being buddy buddy with every player, maybe with the exception of Nicole. So yeah, it's an interesting dynamic for Enzo. Christmas goes, so this is post Night Moves game. Christmas goes to Cody and is like, why were you going after me. So she's mad about that. Yeah. And Cody is like, what? Whoa, I didn't do anything. I was just going for it. I was just trying to win. We get to see another Enzo says, who wants to see my HOH room?
Yeah.
And he puts on his sunglasses to read the letter from his brother.
Because they needed content by this point.
Right. We move on.
I do think it's funny that Enzo is really attached to that blow-up cow.
Yeah, Mulan. Yeah. We see Mulan a lot. Mulan has more personality than many of the players we've met this season.
Yeah, I'd vote for Mulan to win.
I would like to say that Cody is sporting this 5 o'clock shadow beard, and I quite like it.
I don't like it because it looks like he can't fill in areas.
Oh, I like it.
Well, of course you do.
Of course I'm a dirty old man, but that's okay. How dare you say no, you're not, or how dare you not say no, you're not? How dare you?
No, you are.
Christmas asks Cody about talent shows. Have you ever been in a talent show? This is a kind of a cute, you know, Cody is playing the best, one of the better social games, right? And here in comes Christmas in all of her. The mess that is Christmas, and he's very tolerant of these people because he's trying to play a social game, and so there's this little bit about Christmas going on performing her talent show routine from high school.
Cody was egging her on, but he was like laying on the couch ready to fall asleep.
Right, yeah.
Lord, it was awful.
It was terrible.
It was.
Cody is insecure about his nose. Okay, no comments. All right. All right, so Enzo.
That's going to, if I ever make a band, that, like a garage band, that will be our name. Cody is insecure about his nose. It was just funny that we didn't even start. He just is. Nobody has anything to say about that.
Well,
he just is.
Good looking people.
Beautiful man.
Right. Exactly. So good looking people who complain about their looks are like, shut up.
Everyone has something that they hate about themselves.
Well, I mean, you know, sure, we could be annoyed at it. But at the same time, you look like a douche if you're like, no, there's nothing I don't like. You know, I love everything about myself. Next person.
That's I call that good self-confidence.
So, I mean, I think he loses either way. Because if he just said, nope, not insecure, you know, somebody's going to have something to say about it. If he picks something out about himself, somebody's going to have something to, oh, you're so hot. Why do you have, you know, I mean, there's no win in that situation for him. So I felt like, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I didn't really.
All right. So
can I just break in just for a second and let you all know that Amy Coney Barrett has now been sworn in and so that she can be on the court for this major case on Thursday about the ACA. Just and to let you know.
Swear her in.
Justice Clarence Thomas did.
Uh-huh. Holy smokes.
So she is now on the court.
Wow, that's fast.
So that means
that's the fastest it's ever been done.
So if Trump says the election is rigged or whatever, and it goes to the Supreme Court, he'll definitely have no problems winning a court battle over the election.
That is the biggest reason he put her up. She'll do what he wants him to do.
I mean, it depends on how cynical you are. In theory, Supreme Court justices are supposed to go by the law and not their belief system.
Have you met Clarence Thomas? Have you met Antonin Scalia?
Well, I haven't met any of them, but I'm just saying, in theory, and there have been justices who've been who have gone. I mean, even I'm not smart where I'm speaking, but I did read something or hear something on a podcast that there have been some decisions where the conservative ones went more liberal because of their legal views and not their, you know, not their political views. And
right.
So
it's rare, but it does
happen. So, I mean, you can't just assume people are going to be like crooked. We don't know. We don't know that she's crooked. So
if there's an R next to their name, they're crooked.
Okay. All right. So yes,
I just wanted to give you a little update on that. Go ahead.
I'm sure we'll hear a lot more about this on Archer's episode this forthcoming week here. Does anyone have anything else to say about Amy Coney Barrett?
Yeah, I wonder if she likes her nose.
All right. So Enzo won this HOH because it was the Night Moves HOH, and he nominates Christmas and Nicole. Christmas cries. Nicole is ready to go to the competition.
And I did like the banana fight. That was very entertaining with Cody getting creamed with stinky banana.
Mm-hmm. So it is episode 33, Wednesday, October 21st. This is the Power of Veto competition. Enzo is the HOH. He's, as I said, nominated Christmas and Nicole. Enzo is holding to his final two with Cody. Christmas is crying because her best friend Enzo, which she has a final two with, has nominated her. Cody has never been on the block the entire season.
Just give him the money then.
Christmas is in a really deep depression, and she's been crying for weeks now.
How are you, not to belittle Christmas is crying, but how are you in an all-star season and Cody never goes on the block the whole season? Like, how does that happen? We have all
he's
these
an all-star.
But no, we have all of these all-stars in the house. I mean, prior winners of the game. And
he's
nobody,
been flying totally under the radar.
Everybody knew he was a strong player. Like, everybody has seen how many competitions he's won. They all know he's going to win. I mean, I don't even know how. Some of these one-on-one camera dealies with Nicole and Enzo thinking that they actually have a shot to win are just ridiculous. I mean, you know, every time they go back to the jury, they're like, oh, yeah, Cody's winning.
Well, doesn't that point to the fact that he is doing so well that these people think they can win against Cody because they're not seeing what Cody's doing?
No, I actually agree with you. But they also, if they reflect back for just a minute, they had multiple opportunities to get rid of him, and they never took him. You know, nobody wanted to make that bold move.
Yeah, Nicole could have gotten rid of him 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, he's a good player. I'm just saying, I don't understand why no one took a shot. How does a strong player like that make it all the way to the end, never being on the block? That just makes no sense to me.
Because there's always somebody more annoying or more on, you know, more vocal, more pain in the ass, or more, you know, perceived to be more of a threat than Cody. He's been hiding behind the white curtain.
Well, and also
he won a lot of stuff.
Well, yeah, he did win a lot of stuff. But I mean, but if you look back, and they're all Big Brother mega fans, like they're all stars. They all should know, like be studying Big Brother. His season, he's winning basically the way Derek won their season by kind of hanging out in the background, pulling strings, winning the right competitions. And why no one's seeing, he's basically using Derek's strategy to win the game. He's like, you know, I took Derek to final two, he won, now I'm going to use that strategy, is what it seems like to me. And no one's even picking up. I mean, I don't know.
I don't know that he's even picking up on that.
Maybe not, but I mean, Derek is the best player I've ever seen, actually, I think.
Yeah, he was good.
In my opinion, but.
But they all think Nicole's a threat because she's won before, but I think, I don't know how great of a player she was the first time around.
I think she's a good player, but I don't think making it to the end as a one-time winner is enough. You know, I mean,
she's playing very strategically, though. I mean,
Now, yes, now she is, as I said last week, it seems like she's kind of woken up and she was starting to play this game.
And really, and you know, if you watch the Friday and the Monday episode, today's episode that we're recording this, you can see that she's been playing very slyly, I think. But let's not foreshadow. Let's talk about Wednesday, October the 21st. We have the luxury,
excellent idea.
The luxury competition, it's a $10,000 cash prize. Ugh. It's called Clash of the Comics. This is filler.
This was pointless.
It's a game of Yahtzee.
It was all random. Totally. We want to give somebody $10,000 and we need to fill 15 minutes. You know, I mean, there was like nothing. It was completely random. Anyway, continue.
So I won't put us through it again. the game was to choose four comics, four season players. And, you know, they have a computer generated random number generator decides who wins. Nicole wins in the end. She gets the $10,000. That's fine. Christmas is crying again because she felt like she should have picked Memphis as her, being her friend. She feels she let Memphis down by not picking the Memphis comic. It's the stupidest thing ever.
As excited as they were acting about this game, they either are so bored that, you know, right, anything would make them happy at this point, or which is probably the case, or they're very good actors because, man,
no,
they were
they're
acting
terrible
so...
actors.
They were,
you know,
they're terrible actors.
23 of 24
Mike
hours. They're laying around.
Someone who's been. Has been in the theater industry, judge their acting for us.
Pretty bad. Okay. I do think though, like, you're just like bored and you're like, well, I'm either gonna go all in or not go at all, so just play the dumb game, wear the dumb cape, and, you know, just be silly, and you're there.
I'd love to have a cape.
You're a grown ass man, Faye. I bet you could buy yourself a cape.
Oh yeah. Well, those were pretty capes though. All right. Enzo and Mulan want Christmas to win the veto. The veto competition is the hamster wheel. This was kind of an interesting game. The hamster wheel game called the Fast and the Furriest. Is everyone making notes about these competitions? Because when we do the final HOH competitions, we're going to need to know what days these happened, what the names of these competitions were. Like, I hope everyone's taking note of my notes.
You're taking them. We don't need to.
Yes. Some of us just go to the ballpark for the beer, you know?
You bet. And when we do the fucking... what is it? Survivor. I am not taking notes. I'm going to show up like Mike Lawson, look pretty, and listen to what's going on.
Well, a lot of things are going to have to change.
Okay. So the game is you have to, there's a question. What day did such and such a thing happen on? And you have to run on this hamster wheel. One way the wheel goes by 5 days, and then you got to run the other way on the wheel to go by one day, and you got to run this wheel to get the proper day number. Kind of an interesting.
And it only goes up, but you can't make it go down.
Right. So it was an interesting competition. I quite enjoyed this competition. So
I thought it was great.
Yeah. So I won't go through every situation. That's in my, the oh end.
I wonder, mean, though, how, and I know they all expect this to be coming, but you can't write anything down in the house, right?
Right.
there's no way I would remember day numbers. Like, you, I would suck at this game. Like, there's absolutely, I just, without writing it down, I don't see how they remember those so well. Like,
what
I don't
day
know.
Did Adam not remember the day numbers?
I don't know.
Well, day two. They don't have a lot else going on, though, so I would expect that they would drill that, and it would be just part of the day. Like, okay, what happened? You know, like that game where you play, where you're all in a circle, and you have to say the name of the person oh. next to you, and then the name of the person next to the person next to you, and
there's
you
like know. A bread piece of bread in the middle, and whoever's last.
No, it's a cookie. It's a cookie.
Oh, a cookie.
My.
This might be a completely different game. I'm talking about the kind of thing you can do with kindergartners and brownie camp.
Oh, no, no.
Well,
you're talking about a very different kind of camp. Well, never
yes,
mind.
You're talking about men who act like kindergartners.
Oh, well, that's very different. Okay. In any case, I would assume that they go through this and what happened yesterday. Okay, what happened the first day? What happened the second day? What happened the third day? And they're all staring at the wall from time to time, you know. So what else are they going to remember, you know? What else is there to do?
Mike?
I have a theory. And it's not original to me. I've kind of like felt other people sort of mention similar Ooh. Stuff. But I think Nicole was kind of fed some stuff because the story of kind of a two-time winner, whether she makes it to the end or not, like having that kind of like weaved in kind of feels good. And so I could see maybe somebody mentioning that there might be some important stuff because this is all mapped out like a season, you know, all the challenges are written out. Maybe somebody has told her like pay attention to dates or something, because there's been a few things that have clued me to that. I guess her being prepared for the comics is one, but it's not direct, but like she kind of maybe, you know, knew a comics was going to be in there. So she practiced that. Then they also, when they cut to her and she was like talking about the numbers, it just felt like she's counting them. She's like paying attention to stuff. And there was the one challenge with the, I think it was like true or false or something. And she kicked ass at that.
Yeah.
I just feel like she kind of
also
is
she mentioned after the comic thing that she and Victor worked on that before she even went into the house.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean,
maybe real quick before you go on, I'm sorry, Adam. Maybe you should also say maybe this is like a little bit sexist of me. I'm like, this dumb blonde can't actually prepare for stuff. Like maybe she also just kind of like had some foresight and is like paying attention, and you know, it's coming to fruition, and maybe she deserves the seat she's in.
You would expect all stars to have watched other seasons and know what possibly could be, you know,
coming their way. Yeah.
Coming their way.
And this Nicole is like the girl in high school that's always pregnant. I'm sorry for bulldozing over everybody right now, but she's always pregnant. Nicole's just always in the house. Like she just has lived in this house more than she's lived outside.
Oh, yeah. Didn't she tell us
290 days or something?
Yeah.
The
most of anybody. Yeah.
So I forgot what I was going to say, but I'm going to hold on. It'll come back to me.
Well, that's okay. On what day did Adam forget what he was going to say?
What I was going to say is, don't they normally have this type of competition every season where they have to know the number of days? So yes. I don't think they need to be fed that's going to happen, because it happens every season. Just like, maybe
like
not
the
same version of it, but
like they have to remember all the details of little things around the house.
Yeah.
How many ducks are on the wall in the bathroom, you know?
Right.
You have to know that kind of stuff.
I mean, they're always similar formats, not the same, you know, decoration or the same way of getting there, but similar formats.
And I think remembering this stuff is much like being an actor and memorizing your lines. The more you go over it, the easier it is to remember it. And, you know, you remember what happened on day one. Okay, here's what happened on day one. And you review that. And, okay, now day one, this happened. And day two, this happened. And then you review that. And you just keep building and
yeah, things like
the older stuff gets stronger the longer you go along, because you're
we should keep repeating it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Moving on, unless Sam has anything to add from her notes. Cody wins the hamster wheel veto competition. And therefore.
And he needed to.
Well, they all needed to. But if he wants to win, he needed to.
Or he would have gone up.
Yeah. Yes. Well, yeah.
He
but
was the only, well, if Enzo won.
Do you think, though,
Enzo.
Do we think that anyone would have voted Cody out had he gone up?
Absolutely.
Yet another chance for him to get rid of him.
I'm not sure because no one's taken their chance up to now. Like, Nicole had a chance 2 weeks ago. She didn't take it.
Christmas would have, in a heartbeat.
Well, I was going to say, I think of Christmas, she would have definitely taken him out.
But would Enzo or Nicole?
But Christmas was the only one that would be voting. If Christmas had won the veto, she would come off the block, put Cody up.
She would vote. Christmas is the only one to vote.
And remember, a couple of weeks ago, isn't Enzo the one that tried to convince Nicole to get to backdoor Cody?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I think Enzo would do it too.
Well, they all would have done it if they had any brains.
Well, yeah.
All right, that's the end of the veto competition episode. We move on to Thursday, the October 22nd, which is the actual eviction episode, and we come to Moose's fashion feature. Moose, tell us about Julie's dress, please.
Oh Lord, how did I get this? Anyway, it was a very nice black dress with a black lace bodice. Very conservative. Julie looked very nice in it. The
funeral ready. Right?
Yeah, it was funeral ready, and she already had the crosses on again tonight. Yeah.
Too much jewelry.
Yeah. Well, I don't like crosses, but anyway, that's just me. It was a nice dress.
I thought her hair looked really good Thursday night because she had it all down and kind of on one side. I thought it looked really good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like to carry crosses, but I mean, I'm okay, with her wearing them.
Really? Because you really are carrying a cross, ethereally speaking, aren't you?
He's bearing the cross.
That's it. Yes.
That's what I meant. Yeah. Right. That too.
But can we talk about this? Can we talk about this? What is that? The name of this section of the upper part of this dress?
The bodice.
Is it the bodice?
Above the bosoms?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, everything above the waist is part of the bodice.
Yeah. I was going to say, I thought it was above.
Yeah. Basically.
The bodice is what the skirt isn't. In a dress, because your other choice is a two-piece dress, which is actually just a blouse and a skirt out of the same fabric.
So a bodice ripper is a story where the bodice, the top would be ripped off.
Yes, it's a slang term for a romance novel.
Yeah.
You know, specifically of the kind where it's set in the historic past, where the bodices were fancy.
Well, this was a fancy bodice, though. I didn't realize it was lace. I was trying to figure out what that was. It looked like a leopard print to me at the beginning. And her shoes had a bit of a leopard print on the heel or around the backside of the shoes. I really liked this dress. I thought it was...
Y'all look at her clothes way more than I do.
This time I noticed
on her shoes. I didn't even.
This time I just noticed how much jewelry she had, like two or three necklaces and three or four bracelets. And I'm just like, that's just a bit overkill on the jewelry.
Well, Fatty, I hate to tell you this, but other than your special chair, you're the straightest gay man I know. So, I mean,
really?
It is no surprise that you. Oh, Archer doesn't agree with me. I think
Moose is straighter than all of us.
Oh, well, that might be true. I mean, Moose, sorry to. You know, not think of you when I was. But.
Notice, Faye, your name did not come up when we were talking about the straightest gay men. And Mike, sorry.
I don't know. Faye has the car interest. I mean, that's pretty straight.
I don't know.
All right, let's move on. Instead of tearing each other apart, let's tear apart the house guests.
Okay.
Okay, so we are on day 79. Could you imagine 79 days trapped in a house with three?
It feels like this episode.
Actually, I can.
But first feels like 79 days.
COVID. You know, 79 days trapped with Mark. No, I'm just kidding. I love you, Mark, if you're listening right now.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Faye, let me ask you a question. Do you know why they started this episode with the veto announcement? Because like, they didn't announce what his choice was with the veto competition on the Wednesday. Why did they start this one with that, do you think?
Well, I think they're running out of things to fill. They're running out of content to fill these episodes with, and they know they've got to do another 5 or 6 episodes of wherever we are. So I think they're just stretching out because you know how boring it is at the end of the season when there's all, I mean, this Monday's episode is nothing but a rehashing of everything that happened for each individual of the three players, right? They're just filling time with the same shit we've seen for the last 78 days, right?
I disagree. I mean, partially you're correct, but he's not going to use it to take one of them off because there's nobody that can go up. It can't be used.
But they started the episode with that.
By saying, well, Cody, you can't use the power of veto. So they just started the episode because he couldn't use it.
Okay.
Because the person who earns the power of veto can't go on the block. And the HOH can't go on the block, and the other two people are already on the block, so it's null. It's
useless. Yeah.
Right.
Well, but when they did the HOH ceremony, like at the end of the episode, or the who are you evicting, she did say, we're going to do the veto and Julie said, we're going to do the veto and eviction now. And then as soon as she started talking to the house guest, she said, Cody, you can't use the veto, but she did say we're going to do the veto and the eviction. She said that. So
she probably said that simply to remind Cody that he couldn't use it, you know, because I mean, it's Cody.
Right.
It's right.
It's a ripe Cody episode.
Right. This episode was ripe with Cody.
So basically, we have to endure like 30 or 40 minutes of story editing to get through this episode because there's not going to be any content.
Well, didn't we go to the jury house also?
Yes.
We did, yeah.
Okay.
But there's a bit of strategy playing at the top end of this episode. Nicole, we were talking about Nicole. It was 230 days now that Nicole has been in the Big Brother house. As of day 79.
More than anybody.
Right. Enzo and Mulan are starting to plant seeds now against Nicole with the other players. Enzo blabs about
Wait,
the final.
Wait, who's Mulan? I'm sorry. What am I not?
The cow.
Oh, my God.
Oh, the cow. Okay, sorry. Okay.
You know, I almost said earlier, should we explain who Mulan is? And I went, hell, everybody knows who Mulan is.
I forgot about the cow, and I thought you had nicknamed one of the house guests. Because Faye likes to nickname the house guests.
Can I just say, bless his heart.
So they're all in the kitchen and Enzo says, he makes a mistake and he says, this is the greatest final three, or he talks about the final three, and Christmas is in the bathroom and what is that? Enzo! And she is pissed off because she knows what he really means, right?
Now this was funny. This was funny enough for Nicole to pee herself.
Yeah, sure. Mike?
No, just what a dummy. I love it. I feel like it's one of those mistakes, I don't know, in high school where like someone mentions a party and like someone wasn't invited and we're all like, fuck, why did you do that? You dummy. But I don't know. I still love it.
I think Christmas cried again too.
Oh, I'm sure she did. Probably. Well, she's reading her Bible, and she's now starting to plot against Enzo after that.
She's pretty betrayed by Enzo. I mean, she's really feeling it.
Yeah.
You know, three times betrayed.
So much so that she pitches to Cody that he should, that Enzo is a traitor, and that he should consider, you know, starting to work against Enzo.
So do you think, though, because there was a scene where Enzo goes to Christmas and he says, hey, you throw me under the bus. Like,
yes.
He says, throw me under the bus if you need to. I want you to stay. So I was really thinking it wasn't because she was so mad at him. It was because she and Enzo had had a talk and he had told her, you know, I really want you to stay. Do whatever you have to, even if it involves, you know, talking bad about me. So I felt like she did it because they had had that conversation.
I think she did it because she's a horrible person.
Oh!
I don't think she's a horrible person.
And she carries around this Bible and then...
Yeah, the Bible people...
I have a thing with Bible people.
Oh, sorry. All I heard was I have a hard thing.
All right.
Sam just okay. sits there like, oh my God, I cannot react to this shit.
It's okay. I don't use
I
it to be.
I couldn't come up with anything funny enough fast enough, or I would have been right there, you know?
Oh, okay.
Sam, nobody on this podcast says anything funny or fast, so
how dare
it's
you.
Okay. I don't beat people over the head with my Bible though, Faye, so I think I'm in a different category. Yeah,
you are. You are. I respect you, Adam.
Oh, thank you, Faye.
As much as I tease you. And
now that was funny.
Now, speaking of funny, we go
and now Sam's trying not to laugh at it because she thought it was funny too.
We go
you
out.
See those purse lips.
We go out to the backyard, and everybody is working out, doing their level best to get prepared for the next competition. And Nicole is laying on a couch under a blanket in the backyard, visualizing the final day where everyone is saying, "Congratulations, Nicole! You're the winner of Big Brother 22."
This was the dumbest bit of editing ever.
Right.
It was terrible, but you know that's what she was doing.
Oh yeah. Okay. We get to the jury house. We go into the jury house. David and Kevin. So Memphis comes. Memphis arrives at the jury house. And I think that David and Kevin are happy that Memphis is kicked out, honestly.
They are.
You know, and maybe this is naive of me, but don't they, every time they're sitting around that table, the jury members, and talking about who they don't think is going to be coming through the door, it's, first of all, it seems so scripted to me, and it seems like they're saying the exact person who's about to walk through the door is the least likely person to walk through it. It almost always seems that way. And I wonder if they just tell them what to say around the table, or maybe they already know and they're just, you know, I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm overthinking it, but.
Well, like when Memphis was there and they all say, well, tell us what happened. He said, wait. I will show you. Come with me.
Yeah.
let's go see it.
Now that part, of course, is scripted, but them sitting around guessing who they think it should be or could be, I think that's them just throwing out their individual thoughts.
Well, yeah, and we don't know how long they've been sitting there and where the conversation went before that didn't get edited in because it doesn't make for good TV. Right. They might have speculated on every single person still in the house, and we just don't know it.
Very good point.
Actually, that's a very smart. I didn't even think of that, Sam. You're absolutely. They may even tell them, "Hey, go through the whole list."
Right.
You know, yeah. and say why you think that person might not be the one or might be the one, and then they choose what to. That's you're exactly right, Sam. Look how smart you are. Man.
All right, here's a question. On what day did Adam compliment Sam on being smart about a name?
Day 79.
In this Jury House episode, we learned that Danny is still a testy bitch. Because she rails into, you know, you talk. No, I was talking. I wasn't interrupting you. You were interrupting me, and all that kind of stuff was going on. And then at the end of that little Jury House episode, Memphis wants to be taken to his suite.
Going to the Danielle thing, I mean, we have friends that are like ready to divorce one another because of this quarantine bullshit. So like, they love each other. So like, I get what Danny's going through right now. She probably just like, you know, is getting irked by, you know, these people that she did not choose necessarily to be around for this amount of time. This is hard.
So I did like saying, I'm sorry, go ahead, Moose.
Well, I did like when Kevin stood up for David and basically told Danny, hey, you're interrupting him. Let him speak. Mm-hmm. You know, go ahead, Fatty.
I forgot what I was going to say.
You were going to ask Mike if he's in, are you in a relationship? Oh,
so
Mike?
You mentioned the COVID and getting divorced because people are irritating you. Are you trying to set yourself up for an excuse to break go up off on Faye? Okay. All right.
Yep.
All right.
Be it's ready. The COVID Faye. Defense. This is going to, this right. episode is going to be probably in my, yeah. my exhibit some a number.
Exhibit something. A.
Mm-hmm. Will this be for murder this would or be just divorce?
Exhibit, this should be exhibit
we'll
BB.
See. Keep pushing, guys.
I can't wait for that next episode.
All right, we go to the we go back into the house. We have the vote.
Well, wait a minute. Did we have Nicole's little allergy sequence yet?
We didn't discuss it here. Was it last week's episode? Week's podcast.
I think that really was a real sneeze from her. However, the fact that they put it in two different episodes.
Yes.
Is also proof that they're running out of content. Because if the funniest thing they can find is to put a sneeze at the beginning, then they're really out of shit.
Like season one of this game, they gave them like, there was like, okay, everyone sit down. You're the defense. You're the prosecution. Let's talk about flag burning. Like, I'm not saying we should have a discussion about flag burning, but like, give them a deck of cards that have like, I don't know, conversation starters or something. And like, let's
let them play that game.
It's not hard.
Cards Against Humanity.
Yes. Cards Against Humanity. Yeah, that's the game.
Oh, they'd have to bleep it all out.
Oh, they're not going to let anybody do that, though, because the product placement was already established ages ago. We have had Kellogg's Raisin Brand and Sprite so far.
Lots of Triscuit.
Lots of Triscuit.
I've seen a lot of Coke products too, not just Sprite, but a lot of them.
Sprite is a Coke product.
I know, but I've also seen Coke, Diet Coke.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right. We go to the big vote now. We finally get to
the. Would make me have Coke instead of Mountain Dew.
They'd
be
would.
Like, no,
they
you can't would. Have Mountain Dew. But Coke is a sponsor.
You know what, Archer? You didn't see any tab, did you?
Oh, I didn't.
It's because they've stopped making it.
Yeah. Sorry, Fake. Continue.
Christmas
please.
Gives her speech. Gratitude to God. Love to loyal, my son.
I love God, too. I love God, too.
Good for you. I love you, I Nicole. Fucking Bible thumpers.
Yeah, no such thing.
God.
Enzo. just so everybody knows, I was raised in a Christian family. I've come from a very heavy Christian background.
You've come a long way.
It's evident, Faye. The scars are like, yes. I mean, we can see them from a mile away. So
he used to be deeply Christian. Now he's Canadian.
That's true.
That was a good one, Sam.
That was good, Sam.
That's one that she had written down for a while in the right opportunity, you know, arose.
Right.
So.
Christmas says to Enzo, congratulations on getting third place.
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty pissy.
Yeah.
She says something about Cody to Cody about the jury. I didn't quite get it. Nicole's speech is, Cody, 6 years ago, you made the house fun for me. I hope you take me to the final three.
Enzo, am I doing that right with your balls? Is this right? Is this what?
Enzo, you made me pee my pants, which we learn later what that all means. In the end, Cody votes out Christmas.
Well, that's best for his game.
Worst for my game. I picked her to win.
And me. I picked Christmas as it.
As did I.
As did I.
Oh.
Nobody has Cody or Enzo. Uh-uh.
Correct. So why is it... is it best for his game because Christmas is better at comps than Nicole is? And so she would be more likely to beat him in the final HOH competition?
No.
Or...
No. Nope.
I don't think
Mike,
so.
Mike, go ahead. Tell him why.
I think him and Nicole have it. You know, I really think they're blood brothers. And that, I mean, there's theories that they're going to split the pot at one point because they are friends and they're friends outside of this game. So much so that, like, Nicole's mother and Cody's mother know one another and are social. Like, their families are, like, intertwined even. I'm not saying they're, like, you know, that there is proof that there's some sort of deal, but I think this game is not Monopoly, even though we kind of make that analogy a lot, or board game. You know, they are real people with real relationships, and I really think that those two just kind of are really ride or die. Like, not just game ride or die, but like they are legitimately tied to one another.
So you think their F2 is the tighter of the two?
I do, yeah.
Well, I mean, I agree with you that they probably, but you know, are really close. But I mean, Cody has focused so much on winning the whole season. It's hard for me to believe that he would just be like, I have to take her because, you know.
I think Cody stands a decent chance against a previous winner.
I do too.
I mean, he does. Yeah, he does. But I'm just...
If you listen to some of the things that they're saying in the jury house, they're already talking like Cody's the one they're going to vote for.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. Do you think... Because I feel like he kept Nicole more because... He felt like Christmas was, I felt it was really like a game move. Like, I think he felt Nicole because he thought he could beat Nicole. And he thought that Christmas was more likely to win a comp. And, you know, also he probably knew that she and Enzo had worked together at some point. And so he just felt like Nicole was the better choice. I don't think he necessarily made an emotional decision, I guess is what I'm saying. But, I don't know.
I think go ahead, Archer.
I was just going to say, I think it's because strictly because she's a previous winner and he thought the jury would not give it to the same person two times. And that he could, if he was up against her, then they would give it to him.
I think that he had a final two with those two from day one. And if he sent one of them to the jury house, they would go feeling betrayed and be just have a sour taste in their mouth and influence and go in there and say, well, we had a final two from day one and that's the kind of person he is. And I don't know if that's the kind of person that we should reward with $500,000.
But see, that's the kind of person who's a good player. I think. You're not supposed to go in there.
But no, we've often compared Survivor and Big Brother. It seems that Big Brother juries are a lot more emotional than Survivor juries. Mm-hmm. So generally in Big Brother, you really need to manage the jury and make sure they're not mad at you. Whereas in Survivor, they generally are going to pick the person who honestly played the better game. But in Big Brother, that's not always the case. Nicole. You know, her season, Pauly played the better game, but she won, you know.
Now, Sam, you either have an itchy nose or you are, were indicating that I hit it on the nose in what
Yes, with the two F2s. I mean, there, I think that it was very convenient for him that Christmas was a physical challenge threat and a serious competitor, because it's just so convenient that he has a final two with Enzo and he has a final two with Nicole and Chris, and he can vote Christmas out and not make any bad blood with anyone. It was just, it worked out very well for him.
Mike, you were going to say something.
I just kind of wanted to counterpoint to Adam's, what Adam was saying, because I feel like I don't love what, how Nicole plays, or I don't love kind of like a lot of these end games, but like maybe we, that we say like good game, bad game. And I don't know if you're making it to the final, you know, three twice, like there is something good about that game, whether it's like fun to watch or, you know, the way we would do it.
No,
it's working.
Well, but I'm not saying I think Nicole is a bad player. I'm just saying, I think, well, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know that Nicole strategically throws all competitions until the end of the game. I mean, maybe she does. Maybe that's her strategy. But what I'm saying is Christmas wins more than Nicole does. And so I'm just wondering if that was the strategy on his part.
Yeah. You can lose competitions and not throw them and still be kind of good is kind of the point I'm saying. Is like she's making it despite her handicaps, so to speak.
Yeah, but the final...
She cries a lot. Like, she's hard to kind of... Like, she can't hide her emotions, so...
Yeah.
But she still kind of manages, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if Moose. Cody was crying all the time, I doubt he would be as successful.
Yeah. Moose?
Nothing. I've got nothing on this one. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Well, my the last thing I'm going to say... I think Nicole's a good player. I just think the final... relies a lot on the final three competitions, the three-part HOH.
Well, sure it does.
And so if you've got someone who has won more competitions, one might vote them out because you know you've got three competitions coming up back-to-back, and, you know, but maybe that's not what he's considering at all. But that's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, so... Christmas is evicted. She goes out for her exit interview. Julie sits on her clicker that controls whether the house guests can hear her or not as they extra out to the commercial.
I didn't notice that.
I thought they said something in the house. Like, what was that, Julie?
Oh, I don't know. Well, Julie actually said, oh, I sat on the thing that I used to talk to the house guests. She said it.
But, oh, I missed that.
Yeah.
I missed it too.
Well, you must have been dazzled by her dress, Big Fatty.
That was it. Her bosoms. Or no, what is it called?
Bustier.
Bustier.
Bodice.
Yeah.
Bodice. Okay.
And I don't think she's got very, very big boobalus.
Boobalus.
No. She is not well endowed.
I thought that that was a guy that did a real nice Christmas album.
Boobalus?
Michael Boobalus.
Buble.
Okay,
can we, though, can we talk about the posture that Julie has to assume when she's speaking to the camera, where she twists her body into some sort of horrible... Have you tried to take the pose that Julie takes when she's talking to the camera?
Yeah, no, she's working.
Would you
she is seriously...
Yeah, she is.
Get up and show us, Faye, because obviously you tried to do this.
I'm not going to, but, you know, if people want to try this, what you do...
She's got her chair facing this way, and then she's got to turn to the camera like this, you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. She points her body... you know, laterally away from the camera, and she twists her entire body towards the camera. She's doing like a 90 degree turn.
I mean, how old are you, Faye? I don't know that that's that difficult.
Well, you try it. You look next.
It's awkward to hold that pose, and I'm always impressed at how well she walks sideways across the stage and hits her mark every time in those heels.
Right.
Big Fatty.
Big Fatty's doing it on, he's standing up and turning sideways, but you're not getting it because she has one foot pointed, you know, like stage left, and she's turning her her other foot, her upstage foot, Big Fatty, is turned like 70 degrees, one the towards the stage, the audience, and then she turns her body a full 90 degrees towards the camera. And you can see it is difficult because she is wavering as she talks back and forth because you try to stand with your toes together.
You're all jiggling like she's going to fall over.
Maybe she'll fall on the live finale.
I mean, props to her. I have total respect for what she does to bring to look. I don't know why they do that. I guess because it gives her body more shape, because, you know, you never want to shoot somebody straight on camera, but whatever, let's carry on. Okay. So I think that's, the exit interview for Christmas. Anybody have any thoughts on this? She says, basically, I've seen it coming for weeks. I'm in shock. Christmas says it took four nominations to get rid of me.
I have something. Yeah, the one thing that stuck out to me was Julie basically said to Christmas, I think you're the fourth best player. Because Julie actually says at one point, do you think you could have beaten any of them? And so, and Christmas was like, oh yeah, I could have beaten. She's like, or I don't know, maybe Julie said, which one of them do you think you could beat? But the way that Julie said it made me feel like it was a little bit of a jab, like, oh, come on, Christmas, it was your time to go.
Yeah.
And then Christmas,
it was her, like Julie was in the kitchen yelling, final three.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Christmas says, I think I could. So Julie says, like, which one of them do you think you could have beat? And Christmas says, oh, all of them. And I'm like, yeah. That's the part that stuck out to me. So I was like, oh, come on. Yeah.
So at the very end of this episode, we get the words from home. Every of the last three players get their home people calling in.
Video, right.
Right, the video. Cody gets his girlfriend, Christy, calls in. And there's a few things here that are kind of like, if I was the last three players and I saw these things from home, I would think, like, Christy really kind of blew it for Cody, if you ask me, because she was saying, you're playing an excellent game, you're doing all the right things, you're the best, you're going to get it, no problem, right? And if I was a competitor to Cody, I would say, what are they seeing? What is this person seeing that I'm not seeing? Like, there's a bit of cards being shown here by these home visits. Messages, right? Enzo's son and daughter appear. They're very cute.
They don't have much to say, though.
No, but they were my favorite.
Yeah.
They should have talked a little bit louder or gotten closer to the microphone, though.
Okay, the sound Nazi has spoken.
They were quiet. They were super quiet.
You mean...
Oh, the best part of that was the little boy said he was going as a banana for Halloween.
Nicole's fiance Victor was on, and the dogs.
I don't like Victor with short hair.
I don't either.
He has really changed.
He has.
He was hot when he was on Big Brother.
That is correct.
Well, you get in a relationship and things change. So
Adam's talking about his dad bod.
Oh.
So that's the end. That's all my notes for those three episodes. I did watch the Friday episode. I have a few things about the Friday episode, but we don't need to go through it if people would rather not.
No, let's just, if it's just a few things.
It's just a few things.
Wait a minute, Mike, you wanted to say something.
I just wanted you all to know that you should always live in truth and love. I was going to bring that up because at the end of this episode, that's the really wise words of Julie Chen Moonves.
You know, I think I must exit the episode before I get to hear her things. I never heard that.
Your brain just tunes it out.
It's always the very last thing
you
she says.
You were too busy trying to do that contortionist stance that she has.
Of course. and taking pictures of her dress so that I can replicate it for my own private show.
Right.
So the dinner of, so the Friday episode, the retrospective of, you know, the replays,
it's the cheesecake episode.
There were some, Easter eggs in here, stuff that we never saw though.
Yes.
So the dinner arrives, we start the review. We see the whole thing about Nicole peeing her pants. We finally mm-hmm. see what that reference was in the exit speeches or the speeches about peeing her pants. So I won't go into that. Everybody's probably seen that except for
Archer.
And
we've talked about it.
Yeah. We saw a little more about this have not thing where Nicole picks Janelle for the have not. And she was so, Nicole was, I mean, this really showed to me that Nicole was very conniving and pre-planning and thinking things out. And like, it really knocked Nicole down a notch for me because she was so bitchy about this thing about, oh, I'm going to practice. What should I say about Janelle getting the have not? And it really fell flat to all the other competitors in the episode. We saw a lot of reactions from people. When Nicole said this thing to Janelle, and it was really extremely uncomfortable in the house.
They showed that she was planning it ahead of time?
Yeah, she... Mm-hmm.
Well, I gotta watch this episode then.
Yeah, she was trying out lines. What am I going to say when I say, Janelle, you're going to be the have-not? And so...
But at same time, I just want to say at the same time, we were just finished talking about how, you know, you can be a good player and not win competitions, I believe what Mike said. And, you know, although that particular case may seem very bitchy and in poor taste, you know, it shows that she really thinks a lot about, like, what she's going to say and when. And that could very well be part of the strategy that gets her to the end. You know, I mean, so this one was a poor choice. But how many others has she really thought through and said the right thing, you know, or whatever?
So when they showed that on the episode where she said, oh, did I say that? Did that come out of my mouth? That was all in jest. She wasn't actually meaning that at the time that she said that.
Mike?
You're right. But then Janelle comes at her and says something like, you know, give it up. And then Nicole says, I didn't practice what I was going to say. Like she kind of does. She lies. She explicitly lies. And I think what kind of rubs me the wrong way is not so much that the conniving part, because, you know, some of my favorite players are the ones with the sharp tongues that kind of say what we're all thinking. I even think Christmas's line telling Enzo good luck on third, I think that, you know, is kind of brilliant. You know, why not take a jab as you walk out the door? But the part with Nicole that really irks me is just the cowardice of it. Cause like Janelle's coming at you for something, like you stood up and took a swipe. Like you have to like take a swipe back. And like, you know, if you're going to get into a fist fight, you can't pretend like the first fist you threw was, you know, a fake. You have to stand up for that. So that's the part I don't like.
Moose? Well, and she did. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Moose.
No, I didn't see this episode. I'm sorry.
Oh, The thing is, she did the same thing when she practiced voting out Ian.
Yep. 100%.
Oh, yeah.
She even, like, this was the hardest thing I've ever had to do. She practiced saying before she had to do it, you know? Like,
right.
It's just kind of gross.
She knew the part where she said it in the eviction, in the diary room. She knew it would get broadcast. So that's why there were tears and all that kind of stuff. But she practiced. She didn't expect them to put that in the show, showing that she was practicing that. So,
and
Adam,
you know, like Adam was saying, like, if it gets you to the end, you know, whether we like it or not, you know.
Okay, so then do you consider that good gameplay? Because it gets her to the end?
When it works. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
All right. We actually see the kitchen fire occur, and it's David is attempting to cook French fries. And the voiceover says...
Soup pan full of hot grease.
Full, to the brim. Yeah. And they said it was hot water, but it's not. That's a boiling pot of oil, because water does not ignite.
Water doesn't catch on fire.
Exactly. But thankfully, Memphis saved the day and squirted the stupid extinguisher at it when he could have just thrown a rag over top of that thing. But whatever.
Thank you, Fire Marshal Fay. Yes.
I do not like frying things. That unless you're in a restaurant with one of those big, huge industrial fryers, it always seems super dangerous to me.
Right.
Like, I don't like doing it.
So Cody learns the word ripe, but he doesn't really, he thinks he knows the word ripe, but he does, yeah, I'm not sure he does.
And Tyler just is in disbelief that he didn't know what that means. And yeah. He was enjoying it.
Yeah.
Tyler's don't you think Cody's parents are thinking the same thing? How is our son so stupid?
Well,
do you think these parents know how to turn on a TV?
Ooh.
Ouch.
Christmas meets a very still and quiet squirrel.
Oh my god.
And then we see the shopping list that I believe Adam was talking about. Who was talking about the shopping list where they asked, is it Mike? I'm sorry, Mike. Mike mentioned how they're asking for things and Kaser wanted a bunny.
A bunny?
I like this. Kind of stuff. Yeah, not to eat. No. A pet. No, like a pet.
They want to have bunny to take care of and be part of their lives.
Well, you said grocery list. I was thinking, does he want to eat the bunny?
Speaking of squirrels. Go ahead, Mike.
I was just going to say, this was a fast edit. It was like a lot of kind of like behind the scenes stuff, but it was also kind of just silly. And you see personality, even the people that you've like grown to hate, like you see a couple of minutes where they're just kind of like human and, you know, enjoying the experience.
Unscripted.
It's not part of the game. It just kind of reminds you that you like this game. And it's a good episode that I think you should watch if you have the time for it.
Definitely will.
I never watched the cheesecake episodes of Golden Girls, but maybe I'll watch it. This is unrelated to the game, but speaking of squirrels, we were in Lowe's last night, and there was a squirrel eating. They had big bags of bird seed up in the top shelf, and there was a squirrel in the Lowe's eating this bag of bird seed, and all the bird seed was dropping down slowly onto the floor.
Why is Faye laughing so hard?
I don't know. And I've never seen a squirrel inside in a store like that.
Well, only in Arkansas could a squirrel invade the Lowe's.
I told a guy, yeah, I'm like, I found a worker and I said, hey, I just wanted to let you know, you guys have a squirrel over there. And he's like, oh yeah, we know, it's a constant battle. So apparently.
Clearly,
the squirrel is winning.
What did he say?
He said it's a constant battle.
And he was like, Jim, your lunch.
Right.
I mean, I've seen birds get in warehouses before, but just not a squirrel. It just seemed kind of weird to me. Anyway, totally unrelated. Carry on.
Okay. all right. So I don't know that we saw this in the broadcast episode. Bailey riding the tricycle for 500
laps. That was
laps.
Her punishment. They didn't show that, it because though? She got voted out.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, that was interesting to me. Everybody cries in the diary room except for Janelle in this episode.
Yep.
All right. I think that's all I got.
Well, I think my favorite thing, the squirrel was up there. Okay. That was one of my favorite parts. But I think my most favorite part is when Enzo picks up his filet mignon, the whole thing, takes a bite of it, didn't cut it, just picked it up and took a big bite of it. And Cody and starts eating it. And Cody goes, wait a minute, I thought you were a vegetarian. Oh, yeah. Well, I am. But, you know, sometimes, you know. And it went through this whole thing about how he was going to become a vegetarian. And Mike, freaking, go ahead.
That's just such – it's so Enzo, right? Like, whatever. You know, he's vegan when he's around vegans because it's vegan. What causes peace. Okay,
vegetarian.
Like, you know, if it works, you know, yeah, I'm vegan, totally. Or, you know, whatever. I'll eat the steak. He's in third place. It works sometimes.
But I mean, just the way he ate it is caveman style. Oh, Lord, Mike's stripping.
Take it off. Oh, look at his shirt.
Look at there.
Oh, my God.
Look at there.
Oh, a Team Enzo shirt? Enzo.
There's no, he has no chance. Like, it's, yeah. Cody won this game, but I'm on Team Enzo.
Where did you get that shirt?
Well, it's kind of a long story, but. online.
Oh, okay. That was a really long story.
Thank you for.
But wait, did you do that especially for this show, or was there some other reason? Because that seems like a lot of work for little payoff. We don't release this in video.
Oh, I thought that was a pretty good payoff.
That was a good payoff too.
It's a long story. I got it.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Sign on to patreon.com.
All right, speaking of people crying the story. In the diary room, Faye now has tissues out, yeah. Wiping the tears. All right. So
usually I'm the one that laughs so hard they cry. I've passed the torch to someone else.
Faye, did you pee? Yeah. Did you pee?
Right. I did not pee, no.
Okay.
You sure?
I'm sure. I checked.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's
check.
Let's go ahead and wrap things up here, and then
I would like to say I was very upset because I stayed on last episode and I heard all the spoilers, and it completely ruined this week's four episodes for me. So I am not doing that again.
I thought you already knew everything because you said you were going to stay.
Well, I thought I did because I watched the Monday episode, but you guys spoiled the Wednesday and the Thursday episode too. Oh, so
they spoil everything. Like, they knew the winner of the game 3 weeks ago, we'd already know it.
I know the date of Cody's death.
Oh. Wow. Everybody be excited for that after the closing music. Faye. Well,
wait, before you tell everybody, but don't roll your eyes at me, Crooked Hat.
Go ahead.
Now that we know who the final three are, who do you think will win?
Cody.
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 And Cody too.
I mean, Sam. Cody's got it.
Yeah, Sam. All right, let's say Sam.
Cody. Yeah, it seems kind of obvious Cody's the shoe-in at this point.
Okay.
Although I'd really like to see either of the other two win just because of the obvious nature of it.
All right. So there are only three combinations. Nicole and Enzo, who wins that?
Enzo.
Nicole.
I think Enzo.
Probably Nicole.
I think that's Enzo's only shot. In my opinion.
Faye? I agree with you, Mike.
Nicole.
I think it'll be Enzo. All right. Cody and Enzo.
Cody.
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 Yep. Yeah. All right. Nicole and Cody.
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 Cody. Cody. Because he'll have Enzo in the jury as well.
My thing is, I think Nicole and Enzo, both of them, their only chance is to take each other. And, I mean, Enzo could beat Nicole, but I think, I don't know. I mean, I think an argument could be made that Nicole played better, but an argument could be made that Enzo played better. So I'm not sure, but I think I would give that to Nicole personally, but I'm not sure what the jury will do.
Yes,
if that happened.
Could I say that in the 22 seasons of Big Brother, that this these three people, this trifecta of players, is probably the most uncertain and exciting group of people to be up on the final three, because every other season there's kind of been a clear favored winner with some certain exceptions. But I think this is, you know, we finally, as horrible as these Big Brother shows are, where we endure 79 days of bullshit to get to the final three, like, this final three is probably the most engaging and interesting and uncertain for me of who's going to win, right?
Okay. I think Cody's pretty much a shoe-in, though. I mean, he does have some competition. I think Nicole and Enzo have both played good games, but I do think Cody is—it's his to lose, basically. So
I'm gonna agree with that. I don't think it's unclear at all. I think pretty clear.
Well,
that
unless he's not in the final two.
True.
Okay, Mike, you were gonna say something.
I feel like Cody's got it, and I'm not so excited about the end of this, but I don't know that it necessarily matters. Like, you know, your whole trip to Disneyland doesn't matter. You know, that's so much more important than kind of like that last hour where we're all tired and we're like, okay, we're done with Big Brother and like, let's get it over with.
My feet hurt.
Yeah. Right. Hopefully we'll look back at the season and be like, well, it was a good, okay season maybe, but it's certainly not my favorite. But
I like Big Brother, but I'm just gonna say one last time, I'm sick of these big, huge alliances that go mm-hmm. 2/3 of the way in, and then, you know,
don't you think that was more crazy. The case this season, because they all knew each other in terms of what they had played before.
They were
aware of the other players.
It's been pretty common recently to have big alliances, though.
Yeah.
I mean, last season, I feel like there was a huge alliance.
I would love to see, somebody brought this up when we were kind of talking about the diversity in casting. I would love to see a season where they just did like all brain comps, or like there's no stand on a ledge and, you know, kill yourself. Like, I'm curious how that would change like a game where, like, you know, the quirky podcaster could actually make it a few more weeks, and
wouldn't necessarily
I also
wonder, like, on the diversity issue, and maybe we already talked about this, but when you look at Amazing Race, which is also a CBS show, uh-huh. They are 10 times more diverse than Big Brother is. Why is that? Like, I mean, maybe it's a different production company. Okay. Same channel, same network. I mean, so why can't they just, and you know, they don't need to do all like physical comps. They don't have to have muscular specimens every single competitor, you know.
That's what people like to tune in and look at. Okay. Team Enzo, right.
All right.
Sam or Moose, do you have any final thoughts on these things?
Not really.
No. All right.
I really think Cody's going to take it.
Okay.
Can't help it, but you know.
All right. Well, I am the Faye Driver. You can see me or reach me, hear me at pinkwheelnuts.com. I'll put an episode out sometime soon when I'm a little less busy and I don't have to shovel snow on what seems to be 7,000 square feet of driveway.
All right. Well, Faye, thank you for joining us, Faye, and auditioning to be host next year. Moose, where can you be reached?
Moose P on Twitter.
All right. Sam, thank you for joining us as well. Where can you be reached?
I'm Sam and the H on Twitter.
All right. And
happy birthday on Thursday.
Yeah, happy birthday. Yeah.
Happy birthday.
And Mike, Team Enzo, where can you be reached?
I'm at Team Enzo on Twitter.
Okay. All right. And Archer, other than the bottom of a bottle of wine, where can you be reached?
Whoa.
Oh, he's right about that. ARCHERR.com. Archer.com.
And I'll try it one more time. Fatty, where can you be reached?
Well, you can reach me on the Butt First podcast, which we'll be recording on Thursday. Okay. So you'll probably get it when, Adam?
Probably Friday.
Oh.
All right. Well, I can be reached at geekygay.com, and we can be reached at buttfirstpodcast.com. You can also find many more LGBT and LGBTQ plus friendly podcasts at pride48.com. And from outside the Big Brother house, I'm Adam Burns Moonves. Let's listen in on the house guests. And remember, I don't really have a good saying. Good night, everyone.
Till 11.
Okay, on Wednesday night.
On Wednesday. Amazing Race is on.
Well, tonight's show and then the...
Right. Amazing Race is on before Big Brother so they can do a two-hour finale.
Don't worry, guys. Continue your conversation. We're not recording a show here.
Gay's disappointed me on Amazing Race this last episode.
No, don't talk about it. No, don't.
Okay. All right.
Oh, yes. Especially when they were last place and got, you know. Got booted.
Girl and friend, I'm sorry to tell you.
That horn just gets you every time. Okay. Faye, did you want to depart?
Yeah. You got spoilers? What could you possibly spoil?
Sure. Oh, they probably know who won the game.
All right. Goodbye.
Get close.
Bye.
Bye, Faye.
See you in a few days.
All right. Anybody else want to leave?
I'm recording this mess, so I have to stay.
I'll tell you what I know, and that's not
everything. You take your headphones off, Adam.
That's fine.
First of all, Nicole won the first round of the HOH.
Yep.
Cody,
that was the swing and slam into something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cody won the second round.
Mm-hmm.
Enzo, according to my thing here, Enzo is nominated for eviction. That's all I know.
Nominated for eviction?
That happens at the finale.
That happens in the finale. So, and it's not eviction. It's not nominated. They just say, bye-bye.
Well, they have him listed here as the person.
Well, that's them talking. Enzo, you're right.
Because it's, that part of it is live, you're saying.
Correct. There's no way that Enzo can win HOH at this point.
Because Cody, so it has to be him.
So he's nominated. He's one of the two choices that the HOH will have.
And see, I think if Cody wins it, he'll take Enzo. And I think if Nicole wins it, she'll take Enzo. Because they both think that they have a better chance of winning if they take Enzo.
I think Cody will take Nicole because nobody in the jury house will give the prize to the same person twice.
Okay. Moose, what do you think?
I think they might give it to Nicole because she's won before. And the thing is, you know, she laid low long enough and started winning at the end. I mean, you know, they had every chance to get her out earlier.
Mm-hmm. True. Mike?
I just think she's a previous winner, right? Big X on her back. But also she's kind of like not loved. She's not, you know, somebody I would love to sit next to her. I think that it makes sense to bring her. And I don't know that they're wrong to kind of think that either from what we've seen.
Do you think it makes more sense for Cody to have her by him or Enzo by him?
Her. I think that she's kind of like an ideal number two because there are just large stinky qualities about her, you know, for a jury. So,
and I think they would give it to Enzo if he was next to Cody.
You do?
Cody has definitely played a better game, but you could argue that Enzo is more liked.
Enzo has a good social game.
Because when the jury's been talking about Enzo, all they've said is nice things and that everybody loves Enzo. So, but I mean, if you're looking at it by who played the better game, you're going to give it to Cody. But if it's a popularity contest, they may like Enzo better. But I don't think anyone's mad at Cody though. So if it was a situation where people were pissed and Cody had done something, he had some blood on his hands, then I could see them giving it to Enzo because everybody liked Enzo better and they could justify giving it to him because he's played enough of a good game. But in this situation, I mean, Cody really hasn't pissed anyone off and he's played an excellent game. So well, I don't see...
Except in the jury house, there was a comment of Cody has gotten everybody else to do his dirty work for him. So anyway, Sam, did you have an opinion?
Well, I agree with Mike that Nicole is definitely the best person to sit beside because, you know, she has already won. I could see it going either way with Enzo and Cody, but Cody seems to be the better choice because he got everybody else to do his dirty work. That's smart.
I mean, Derek did the same thing, and they gave him the win. So,
well,
Adam, this goes back to...
Go ahead.
I say, Adam, this goes back to what you were saying. Are they going to the jury house members? Are they going to be emotional about their choice, or are they going to be strictly who played the better game? And we're not going to know that probably until Dr. Will sits down with them, and then they go. You know, across
by the way, that was the ending of the Friday episode. Also, is Dr. Will is out on the balcony in the backyard
in his underwear,
wearing a little thong thing, drinking coffee, and it's just like, oh god.
But I mean, yeah, I mean, you're right, Archer. Like, and I do think Big Brother jury tends to be more emotional. But what I'm saying is, between Enzo and Cody, there's not really anything to be emotional about. I mean, Cody hasn't really ticked anyone off. So usually they're emotional when someone has pissed them off. But Cody really hasn't done anything to piss anyone off. Usually that's when the Big Brother juries like vote for the other person to win, is when they like can't stand the other person for some reason. Whereas I've never heard anyone talk bad about Cody, you know?
I think the jury people are pissed off with each other, not Cody.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll see. We'll see. But anything else? Anyone?
Yep.
All right. Good. Well,
is this show a member of the Pride 48 network?
We will see you guys in 2 days after the finale. And yes, Fatty, you are correct.
This show is a proud member of the Pride 48 Podcasting Network. Check out more great shows at pride48.com.